It might only be Tuesday, but we are already looking forward to the end of this week on today's Monocle Arts Review. I'm Andrew Muller, and joining me in the studio today is Laura Snapes, contributing editor to Pitchfork, among other publications, to talk about three upcoming releases due to drop, as I believe the expression is, this Friday. The three are Hopelessness, the debut album of sorts, I guess, by Anoni, Bloom Forever by Thomas Cohen, and Little Scream's Cult Following. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Do stay tuned. Laura, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to start with Anoni, as I was saying there in the introduction. It does seem kind of strange to talk about this as a debut album.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she is presenting it as a debut album, but it's definitely like the manifestation of a new... It's hard to even call it a new identity, and it's not a persona. Basically, Anoni used to perform as Anthony in the Johnsons and has always been a transgender person, but went by he and Anthony for a lot of her career. But the name Anoni was a name that she used in private, and I think for this record she decided that it was time to actually put that out in the public and to adopt the pronoun she, because it felt more fitting to her.
Has she talked much about, I guess not necessarily why she made this decision now, but why she didn't make it earlier?
I actually interviewed her, and I've read a few other interviews around this record, and she's kind of underplayed it. She's not making a big deal out of it, because I guess to her it's just her identity. It's just different than how we have known her before. But the vocals and things are still very recognisable within the album. But the palette is something completely different. She collaborated with Hudson Mohawk and Wanna Tricks Point Never, and it's like a synth pop album. It's not like kind of, you know, the lugubrious, devastatingly sad piano music that she used to make.
I mean, do you think there might have been a reluctance as well, and it would be a perfectly understandable reluctance that then the music just becomes all about that. It gets judged as art by transgender artists rather than art by artist who happens to be transgender.
I guess that prefix has always followed her around to a certain extent. I feel like people were aware of that even when she won the Mercury Music Prize over 10 years ago now. But I think with this album, there's actually a lot of other issues around it that will kind of dominate the conversation more than her identity. When you look down the track list for the album, it almost seems like a checklist of every problem facing the world right now. Like, there's a song called Obama, and there's a song we're going to hear called Drone Bomb Me, and a song called Violent Men. It's, you know, and there's lots of songs about the environment as well. It's very much like a checklist of everything awful that's happening to the world. But the way that she presents these issues and kind of inhabits them is very intimate, and it's not like soapboxy music whatsoever. It's really beautiful, I think.
Okay, well, this is a track from the album. It's one you just referred to. This is called Drone Bomb Me, and here it is.
So drone bomb me, drone bomb me, blow me from the mountains and into the sea, blow me from the side of the mountain, blow my head off, explode my crystal guts, lay my pearls.
Drone Bomb Me there by Anoni, formerly known as Anthony and the Johnsons. The first choice of today's guest music reviewer, Laura Snapes. Laura, you were talking earlier about how the album kind of considers things that are wrong with the world as such, though that song could, of course, be heard very much as a personal statement as well, a metaphor, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's so successful and beautiful about this record. You know, Drone Bomb Me is apparently sung from the perspective of a young girl whose family have all been killed in drone warfare, and she's basically pleading to the sky to be killed as well, because everybody that she loves has gone. But the way that Anoni shapes the lyrics and sings like Drone Bomb Me, it almost sounds like a plea from one lover to another to be heard or something. And I just think, yeah, the way that she's done this very clever thing of making the issues personal to her, but without being appropriative or anything. And I think it's interesting, it's coming out relatively soon after the last PJ Harvey album, where she also considered a lot of bad things that are happening to the world. And she actually went to, you know, Washington, D.C. and Kosovo and Afghanistan and looked at these things firsthand. But she came back with an album that had a very distant perspective on these things, even though she'd been right there in the thick of them. And I think what Anoni has done, like the sleight of hand addressing these awful things, but also making them intimate, is very clever and very beautiful.
I mean, does the album register or count as, and it is a terrible thing, I guess, to burden any record or artist with, especially now, but does it count as protest music of any sort?
I think very much so, and I think also when you hear her interviewed as well, I mean, interviewing her, she's ferociously eloquent about these things. You know, she's very well read up on it, everything. You know, I think she is making a protest. I don't think that she would find that a reductive thing to say.
Okay, well, that's Hopelessness by Anoni. There's possibly a clue in the title. That's out on Friday the 6th of May on Secretly Canadian / Rough Trade. We will move on to your second choice. This is Thomas Cohen. He used to be in a band called Scum, and that was capitalised, wasn't it, Scum, if memory
yes.
serves? They didn't really set the world ablaze, I think it's fair to say.
No, not really. They were, I think, you know, an East London scene kind of band, a bit gothy, a bit schlocky. I used to work at NME and I went with them on an NME Young Bands tour once, and you know, they were quite moody and not very talkative, you know, as like 17-year-old gothy bands tend to be.
But this is his solo debut called Bloom Forever. It is inevitably, I guess, going to be addressed through the prism of his personal backstory, however.
Well, I mean, not even going to be addressed through that. You know, that's the approach that he's taken to it. So for anybody who doesn't know, Thomas Cohen is the widower of Peaches Geldof. I think he was about 23 when she died, and they had two small children. And one of their children is called Bloom, I think. And so that's where the album takes its name. And it's very much like it's interesting, this wave of albums at the moment that take kind of like linear progressions through failing relationships, like the Beyoncé album, the Bjork album. It starts at the beginning when they're very much in love. You know, there are songs about them having their two children on there. And then there are these songs with absolutely devastating lyrics about, you know, basically finding her dead. Like one of the songs goes, "My lover gone, she turned so cold. Why weren't her eyes covered and closed?" It's like devastating, and it's incredibly mature, and it sounds absolutely nothing like the weird music that he used to make as a teenager. It has this very much like 70s singer-songwriter kind of vibe to it. You know, there's bits that sound a bit like Neil Young. I think it's quite staggering. I don't think anybody would have expected him to make such a great record.
I mean, it's always the interesting point with explicitly confessional music, I think. How much of it, well, to put it another way, if you came to this album completely cold, not really knowing who Thomas Cohen was or what he was singing about, would it still work? Do you need to be invested in the backstory to appreciate the record?
I don't think you need to be invested in the backstory. I think it's, you know, if you take away all the personal details, it starts out as like young idealistic love, and then, you know, it's very rare, I think, that you have records about fatherhood from any age of a man, like let alone like a man who's like 24, 25. And I think, you know, even when you strip away the details, the emotional context is still very, you know, affecting.
That is true. That is unusual because for obvious reasons, I guess artists in their mid-20s are not prone to sort of reflection on parenthood and mortality and the big things. That sort of tends to come about another 20 or 30 years down the track.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, this is a track from Bloom Forever. It's called Hazy Shades.
Even though the sun is coming, even though the sun is coming now, hazy shade, all come home. Even though the sun is coming, even though the sun is coming now,
it's Hazy Shades from Bloom Forever, the debut album by Thomas Cohen, the second choice of our guest music reviewer, Laura Snapes. It put me in mind a little bit. His voice just reminded me of Stephen Duffy. The song does a little bit as well, that kind of strange hybrid of Britpop and country that Stephen was making in, I guess, the mid to late 90s.
It reminded me of Neil Young, like a particularly silvery kind of take on Neil Young, and I think he has a similarly kind of reedy voice. He doesn't try and disguise the fact that he's not the greatest singer, but I think it still stands up.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to your third and final selection. This is rather poppier. This is the, well, she's from Montreal. This is Little Scream. Introduce Little Scream, if you would.
Her real name is Laurel Sprengelmeier, which is an amazing name. I think she's originally from...
It's a fantastic name. Why didn't she stick with that?
I know. She's originally from Iowa, and I think she moved to Montreal, you know, 10 years ago or something like that. And she is a close collaborator with Richard Reed Parry of Arcade Fire. And there's a lot of that kind of person on this album. Like, there's a little turn from Sufjan Stevens and from Sharon Van Etten and from the Desna Brothers from The National. But... They're not like guest features, you know, their services are very much used in the service of the song rather than standing out. And I think she had one album out before, it's called The Golden Record, and I think she's very, very underrated. That last record kind of put interesting pastoral spins on post-punk. There were parts where she sounded like Patti Smith, and then much more orchestral moments than that. And now on this album, as you said, she ventures into pop a little bit. There's this song that we're going to hear, and a couple of others are kind of big pop hits. There's almost like a Bee Gees influence on the album in some places. But she does kind of mostly stick to the more orchestral stuff. But I think she's a very interesting arranger.
She's called the album Cult Following. Is this one of those arch self-mocking album titles?
I think it does. It actually relates to the fact that I think she was brought up in quite a fundamentalist like religion that she kind of escaped, you know, in her teenage years or early 20s. But I think she said that it was also inspired by taking a trip to Brazil with a friend and getting on the kind of like hippie shaman holiday that almost becomes very difficult to leave because, you know, they want you to stay.
I was just, it is, as I'm sure you know, something of a, there's kind of a tradition among sort of not necessarily massively commercial, successfully artists to sort of give their albums leadenly sarcastic titles like The Very Best Of or Greatest Hits or et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sharon Van Etten, who's on this album, I think her second album is called Epic, and it's Epic with a little E, and it has 7 songs on it, and, you know, probably 2,000 people bought it at the time.
This is Little Scream with Dark Dance from Cult Following. Little Scream with Dark Dance from her upcoming album Cult Following, the third and final selection by this week's music reviewer, Laura Snapes. I like that a lot. That reminded me somewhat of her fellow Canadian Jane Sibbery and also arguably her other fellow Canadian Mary Margaret O'Hara.
Mary Margaret O'Hara is on the album, again, kind of imperceptibly, amazing. But she does a guest vocal. I wish that Mary Margaret O'Hara would just make her own albums, but it's very nice to hear her even as like a little trace on this one.
Do we actually know what Mary Margaret O'Hara does all day now?
She makes music for films and she also acts, but yeah, I mean, she's not doing what we want her to do.
No, indeed not. However, Little Scream is, that is a Cult Following from Little Scream, that was Dark Dance. The album Cult Following is out on Friday on Merge Records, and that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to our guest Laura Snapes. Don't forget to tune in to our weekly live music show, The Sessions at Midori House, where this week we have a performance from the Parisian singer Alma Elst. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be discussing the Tony nominees with the theatre critic Matt Wolfe. But for now, it's goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.